Well, our next guest that we're going to talk about is Reverend Ken Joseph Jr. He traveled to Iraq to volunteer as a human shield against the war. But events there changed his mind, and he joins us now from Amman, Jordan. Why did you want to be a human shield to begin with?
Well, I live in Japan, and there's a very strong movement against the war. And I'm also an Assyrian and have family there. So we were particularly concerned what the results of the war would be, not only for us personally, but also for our family members.
And the Assyrians, of course, are the Christians. They're mostly in northern Iraq. You went over there and you met with some of your family members. What were your impressions?
Well, I was quite shocked. I went over there very much against the war. But as I began to spend time with family, began to talk with just the regular people, we were one of the small group of people that were in Iraq that had no government minders at any time. Most people forget that the majority of people in Iraq always had somebody with them.
So you had nobody following you?
Never. And so from the time we entered to the time we left, we were able to talk with people freely. And what shocked me most of all was that people kept saying over and over and over, we want the war to come. And, you know, what do you do if you're there to help somebody and the people that you're there to help say, we don't want this help, but we want a completely different kind? And that's what really shocked me, really into a different sense of reality.
Now, were people comfortable speaking with you? You also videotaped some of this, which I think is interesting, too. We want to see the videotape at some point. We'd love to see it. But were people much more comfortable because that minder was not present?
Well, some of the journalists and others would feel that they could talk to people even without the minder, but people were so afraid. I guess what I began to see was, for example, you were in a home and a phone would ring or a knock on the door and people would just tighten up in shock. So even without a minder there, they wouldn't talk to you unless you had somebody with you that, you know, that they felt they could trust. And at that point, I began to see a completely different view of the whole situation.
Walk us through what you saw there, too, because, I mean, from looking at it from this perspective, you see just extreme poverty. We hear these horrible stories of torture and people just suddenly disappearing.
Well, you know, probably the one thing that really affected me the most was they would completely say, it's kind of too bad to have to say this after the fact. I wish I could have said it earlier, but they kept saying, first of all, we've had war for nearly 30 years. It was bizarre to see people, you know, the streets until the day before, the day we left, in fact, were completely normal. And people got up, went to work, went about their, you know, their daily lives. And I kept saying to them, I said, well, how can you live like this? There's a war about to come. And they would say, but we've had war for almost 30 years. You know, if we changed the way we lived every time there was a war, we would never get anything done.
But you did hear some horrible stories about people disappearing. Tell us about that. What did you learn firsthand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would, consistently, they would say, just for us to even speak, we would be killed. And to be honest, we thought that a lot of the stories, you know, were just made up or were propaganda to be, but when we got there and you began to see, you know, another thing, you would go into people's homes and it seemed like every other home had somebody who was really not even mentally there. And they kept saying that you can't imagine what it is like to live, first under constant fear and second without any kind of hope. And so I think the view of it was that this may be a war, it may be difficult, but at least we'll have a chance to start again. And in particular for the Christians, I think they've suffered in a different way.
They have suffered extensively. What do you think of Saddam Hussein now, and what would your advice be to those others who went there as human shields?
Well, you know, I think the other thing that I had to face the most was I think there's such a thing as evil. And it's too bad that things can't be solved peacefully. That the people always said we want it to be solved peacefully, but it can't. And when there's evil that really won't go away, there comes a point where something different has to be done. And our concern now is for what will happen from now on. The Assyrian Christians in particular are a very small minority. There's 2.5 million Assyrian Christians in a land of about 23 million. So we're really hoping that in the developments that take place now, that the Christians will be protected because they're the original people of Iraq. In fact, this is the flag of the Assyrian people.
Feel free to hold it up a little higher if you could, if you want to hold, yeah.
This is the Assyrian flag. These are the original people of Iraq. And we hope that in whatever takes place in the future here, that the Assyrians are not given equal treatment, but given special protection as one of the few Christian communities in the Middle East. Imagine being in a sea of Muslims and trying to survive. And also, there's a large Assyrian community throughout the world that would return if they had a guarantee of safety and special protection.
Right.
We feel that one of important part is to be able to allow them to return.
And in fact, I know some Assyrians here in the United States. Ken Joseph, thank you very much. Thank you for showing us the flag. And of course, we hope that everyone is safely protected. And thank you for sharing your story, too. We appreciate it.